This is David Kaplan on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Cap and Company podcast, presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
O'clock in the great city of Chicago. Our guy, Nick Friedel. Miss him. Loved having him here in Chicago. And then he ran off to cover that Bulls of the 2015 to 2019 run. And that would be the Golden State Warriors. But I've been on the phone a bunch with Nick over the last few days. And when Horace spoke yesterday, Nick was all over that, and he joins us now. My guy, Nick, how are you?
My man, how's it going back there?
It's going good. It's warming up. It's going to be in the 80s Sunday, Monday, all next week, I think. So we're finally, I think, getting some nice weather here. You get nice weather all the time in California.
Yeah, well, I skipped out on that snow part, which is nice.
So when I called you at or you may have been listening, but I said, oh, my God, Horace just went scorched earth on Michael. What was your first thought?
My first thought was, just how bad was this? Because I was texting with Chris and Danny, too, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, because I didn't hear it instantly, but I saw everybody's tweet, and I'm thinking, I need to go back and listen to this pretty quickly, and I did. Man, Horace had some stuff that he clearly wanted to get off his chest. But I tell you, in listening to the interview and listening to you guys talking and then transcribing out what he said, it's even worse in print when you read it. You're just like, whoa, Horace. So that's been brewing for Horace. And I say this, what he told you on the record is a lot of what a lot of former players have been feeling off the record.
Right.
So as much heat as Horace may have been getting at times throughout yesterday from media or fans, I promise you that his phone was going off a lot with former teammates and old staffers going, yeah, okay, somebody finally said it. So there's that part of it as well.
Yeah, I truly believe that Horace's phone yesterday, there were guys high-fiving him over Zoom.
There's no question. I think that what Horace was telling you about, Cap, is something that's been brewing for weeks for a lot of guys. And people say, well, you know, what's the issue? There are two main issues for a lot of former players. The first is they thought that this was going to be a Bulls documentary. And they were under the assumption that this was going to be a documentary that had a lot about that last season, but that had a lot of context about the Bulls. Anybody who watched that documentary, even if you really, really enjoyed it, and it was very entertaining, it's not a Bulls documentary. It's a Michael documentary.
No doubt.
But the second part, and I think this is crucial, and Horace has said this, and I know you've talked to some other former players in the last couple of days, and they've said it as well. The two executive producers, there's three, two of them are Esty Portnoy and Curtis Polk, mm-hmm. and those are gatekeepers for Michael and two of his closest confidants. And when the former players started to see that they had that final say in theory, I think a lot of guys are like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Because, again, they thought this was going to be about the team, not about Michael himself. I mean, it was a Michael documentary that had some stories interspersed of other guys and other players, but that creative control is crucial. And I think that's why so many people – And we haven't heard from Scotty. I mean, his feelings at this point, he hasn't come out on the record, but it's been very clear in listening to others. He's not happy about what he's seen, and at some point we'll hear from him. But it's that light that it's all portrayed in, because not everything obviously was favorable to Michael Jordan, but his two of his closest confidants had that last final say. So that's a huge reason why I think you've heard some of what you heard, and you heard what Horace said. And then the third, for a lot of guys, and there are reasons for everybody, but the third is Michael was the only player to get paid. And the counter argument to that is, well, there's only one Michael Jordan. Sure, but he was the only one to sit down and get paid, even if he's going to donate the money to charity. That bothered a lot of guys, given the time that they put in to get their stories out there. And they felt, as Horace said, that some edits and cuts were made that didn't allow a fuller presentation.
Yeah, and you know, Chris had brought up before, like when they asked Horace if he was the leak on the documentary, like he did not know how that was, from what he said to me, he did not know how that was going to be perceived, or that they were going to have Michael like right there in the chair, which Danny loved seeing Michael in the chair, and it was great stuff, where he said, oh yeah, Horace was the snitch. Horace was under the impression, from what I got, that he didn't realize it was going to be presented in that fashion. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's why I think, again, Cap, that so many of these guys looked at how not only that it was produced, but how it was portrayed, and were like, what? what is happening? And, you know, these are old wounds for so many guys. When you have a proud team like this, when you have a team that has won at this level for years and years, but you pushed all that away, and then in the midst of a pandemic, when the entire country, the entire world is just kind of stuck in place, looking for something to watch, and you have to relive this on a national stage. I mean, of course something like this is going to happen, but you're absolutely right. I mean, with Horace specifically in that story, and a lot of guys felt like this, it wasn't just Horace, but they didn't know how it was going to be presented. And again, to them, when they all sat down, it seems like they thought that this was going to be a documentary about the years of the Bulls. And I think there was an intent at times to tell stories about the Bulls, but this was a Michael documentary. And it sure seemed like Michael was portrayed in a very good light most of the time, and had final say in general and what was said throughout the documentary. So I think as far as player concerns into what Horace told you, that's why there are so many hurt feelings all over the place.
Do you think the Chicago Bulls come out better or worse from the documentary?
As I watched, I think they come out worse, just because the same themes about not wanting to spend money, and having the issues behind the scenes, whether it was coach and GM, as it was in the 90s, it was the issues with Tibbs and Garnet Pax 17, 18 years later. The people in charge, notably Jerry Reinsdorf, he's still in charge. Now, Mike Reinsdorf, his son, he has become more prominent in the last few years, and I give Mike credit for finally pulling the trigger on the decision to make these moves. But even now, it's like this is a perfect example. You have the chance to to clear everybody out. And I know Cap's been talking about it for months, certainly in the last few weeks. But, you know, there's still this storyline as you make this change hovering over, well, are they going to keep Jim Boylan or not? And this, to me, it all ties back into, you need to get everyone on the same page. And when you've had the greatest team of all time, all again, for everybody, all this old stuff comes up. And this has been an issue that has hovered around the Bulls for decades now. Why can't everybody be on the same page? What I think is so interesting, and at least in the last few days, as this thing has played out, the Bulls historically They are not a team that cares as much about optics as other pro sports organizations. They're not bothered by it. All those years, people are screaming to make front office changes, and Jerry and then Mike are saying, no, you know, we're good the way we have it. I have never in the 12 years I've been around this team seen Jerry Reinsdorf interviewed so many times consecutively in any stretch of time. And here Jerry is doing all these interviews trying to kind of reset the narrative of how the team broke up and why the team broke up. So I think what we learned, at least in the last few days, the Bulls do care about optics on some stories, and this was one of them because they were sending out their biggest gun saying, hey, we gotta clear the air here, and we got to get our own messaging out. And that is not something historically that they've done well over time.
You know, what I find interesting is, and again, I loved the 5 weeks. I wish there were 10 more weeks if we're going to be under this stay-at-home thing with everybody dealing with what we're dealing. I loved it. But I would also tell you this. Michael said, I'm not playing for another coach. Oh, wait a minute. I'll go back to the Wizards and play for Doug Collins. That team that I covered, that team was done. Michael wasn't, but that team was done. And Horace said yesterday to us, Scotty was not coming back in a one-year deal. It's never going to happen. He was going to get paid. And I wouldn't have given Scotty $67.2 million coming off another back injury. No chance I would have. So good for him. He got paid. But let's not forget here that, and again, Jerry Krause, his people skills were awful. He allowed this divisiveness to fester. I hold him responsible for that. But what I would say to you is, and I'd love your take on this, Phil said, before the season, his marriage was crumbling. He ended up getting divorced. I'm leaving. I need another year. I need a year away. So he walked. Michael decided to walk and then decided, all right, I'll go back to the Wizards and play. So Michael wasn't done. He could have stayed and said, all right, let me pick my coach, and I'm sure they would have acquiesced.
Kev, on top of that, what else was said publicly? Jerry Krause comes out before that final season and says, we can go 82-0, and Phil's still gone. You know, in the end, there's always going to be blame for all involved. And certainly when you watch that series, Jerry Krause got the most blame. But I go back, Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner. And you made this point yesterday, and you talked about it the last few weeks. But Jerry's the owner. Come down and fix it. If Michael Jordan, by all accounts, especially in that moment, the greatest player of all time, when you feel like it's pretty clear that he's not ready to walk away yet, do whatever you possibly can to make him stay. If the key to him staying is Phil Jackson being the coach and being on better ground with Jerry Krause, how in the hell do you allow Jerry Krause to come out and say that publicly? And again, this is all getting rehashed now, and it's living in this news cycle because there's nothing else going on. I mean, for us at ESPN, it was a perfect time to get all these documentaries out. But for the Bulls and for all these players and executives to relive this, that's why this thing has lived the way it has, because everybody is looking for something to talk about. They're looking for content, and this has provided it. But Jerry Reinsdorf, for as much good as he has done and as many great decisions as he's made over the years, he does not come out looking too great in this. Because even if that team was done, again, this ties back into that O word for the Bulls, optics. The optics were that they couldn't make it work with the greatest player of all time. And I'm with you. Does Scotty come back on a one-year deal after getting screwed with contract and the contract in his mind over time? It's highly doubtful. But again, Cap, Reinsdorf could have come in years ago and said, hey, Scotty, I know I told you not to sign and I know we had a deal. But if he reworked the Scotty deal, do all the rest of the dominoes fall? You know, if he gives Scotty all that money a few years before and redoes the deal, is everybody in a better mood? And then you go and you say, Phil, Jerry, you're going to work it out. We have Michael Jordan and the greatest team that anybody's ever seen. How do we make this work in the moment? So when you tie those dominoes together, the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf gave Jerry Krause that much power in the moment and didn't fix it when he could, that is striking to me, and I think that is one of the biggest storylines that came out of the last 5 weeks.
All right, we could do another hour like this. I got to let you roll. Have a great day, and sad news for you, man. Ditka's closed. Your burger place is gone.
It's awful, Cap, and I just want to quickly shout out everybody who I came across in that restaurant. I mean, I used to tell people that was my kitchen. I lived across the street. I was in there constantly. There are so many good people that you come across, and everybody's got that one or two places. For me, it was Ditka's and Joe's, where you go in and you feel like you're a part of the family. And there are so many people that would land on their feet there. But that place, for me, was my hangout. And that was the place that that I always found comfort in, no matter the situation. So to all the people at Ditka's, Carlos and Paul and Cassie and Mike and Mr. Hooker, all everybody, thank you for what you did over the years, because I know I wasn't alone and feeling really, really sad when I heard that news.
You said Mr. Hooker, right?
Mr. Hooker.
Okay.
Mr. Hooker.
Just making sure. All right. Have a great day, man. We love you.
All right, my man. Love you back. See ya.
See ya. That's our guy. That is Nick Friedell. All right, here Tim Kirkchin on MLB's plan to return next, because there's a lot to discuss. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000, with Eric Ostrowski in for our guy Danny, who's off till Tuesday, and the wonderful Christopher Emmanuel Black. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. So MLB has come out with their proposal of how they can make players feel safe. They've got to work out the finances. Players have to sign off on all this. Here's Tim Kirkchin on that plan.
On Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, a former player who's now an instructor and has had 30 years in the game called me on the phone on a Sunday morning and started screaming about the proposal that the owners sent to the players. And he said, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. There is no chance we're going to play this season." That's what he told me. The next day, I spoke to a general manager who is very plugged in on this, and he told me that chances of playing this year are 100%. So on Sunday, I get an irate former player who says, "We're never playing this year." And the next day, a GM says, "We're definitely 100% playing this year." And today I got a text from somebody saying, "You can cue the rancor and the season-canceling talk. You can cue it because it's going to go on for a few more days. It's just like the script has been written." Like, this is some sort of script. This is where we are, Scott. The narrative changes not only week by week, it changes day by day, and it is still a very, very confusing situation.
Who do you believe?
Scott, this is the problem. I believe everyone, and I don't believe anyone. That's the problem. It doesn't matter who you speak to. He has a different thought on things than the next person that you're going to talk to. The only thing is, we have to have complete collaboration between the union and the owners in order to get this done. And right now, they're simply not on the same page. And that gives me pause. And yet another guy texted me to say, "I think we're going to play 60 games. We're going to start on August the 1st. We're going to play extended playoffs. That's how it's going to go." And he was certain of that. I'm not certain of anything.
Okay. So here's my question. Do you believe we will play baseball? Eric, do you believe it?
Yeah, I think they'll get it figured out. It's too important. Baseball's kind of at a point where they need eyes, and this is a perfect time. Like, this is their moment. If they can't capitalize it, then they're in a lot of trouble, and I think they realize that.
Christopher.
Well, they have to figure something out soon. And I say that because with the information we have from yesterday, New York, California, Texas, their governor is saying that those states can start having live professional sports in their state. Those are three power players. Not only are they important states to the U.S. economy, but also they all three have multiple baseball teams in those states. California more than the two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas, you have a couple, and then New York, you have the two. So that's a lot of baseball teams, and I get that some places around the country may not be ready for full reopening, but in Florida, it seems like everything's pretty much open there and available, and we know that, at Florida University, they've said, yeah, we'll take live sports at our stadiums if you need it. So that's open.
Right, okay. The Gators.
Yeah, so yeah. Florida Gators. So, you know, okay, so Florida, New York, California, Texas are all going ahead with this. There's other states in the South that are also going ahead. So you add in all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's going to have to figure this out within the next couple of days because June 1st, we're a week and a half away from that. You know, two weekends away. And baseball is sitting here doing nothing. So your original question, do I think there will be baseball? Unfortunately, right now, I don't see it getting done. It seems like these sides are too far apart and they're too worried about all the semantics of this instead of trying to find a solution to actually get back on the field, because we're starting to get the green light from the states, from the governors, from the government, and they're not ready. That to me is bothersome.
Now, again, maybe there's more going on in the shadows that we don't know about, but the perception, you are exactly correct, is what are you doing, baseball?
Well, you know, the Joel Sherman piece in the New York Post, I think, is why.
You mean the smoking gun?
Yeah, from mm-hmm. today. Like, listen, the whole argument on the players is that the owners are coming back now after they had an agreement that this is what we're going to do for this season. Whatever we figure out, here's how we're going to attack it. Mm-hmm. And the players are saying, well, we agreed to that, and now you're coming back and you want more of our pay. Well, the Joel Sherman piece in the New York Post today is saying that when they agreed originally, that the agreement was, if there are no fans, we have to renegotiate. So what are the players missing in this whole thing? Cap, you, like, I don't know if it was you specifically, but I know Jesse did. Everyone was going after me last week because I was saying, hey, players, figure this out and get on the field. And I was being told that I'm the one that's siding with owners. What is Bleck doing?
Oh, no, that wasn't me.
No, I know. But Jesse was going after me on the show, was he not? Because we were talking about Trader Joe's and the whole thing, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Well, guess what? If that email is real and that's the true smoking gun, what are the players doing?
Figure it out. That's why, like, I'd love to have Sylvie in here and debate it, because he says he's a player's guy. And he's not alone. Jesse said the same thing. I'm not a player's guy and I'm not an owner's guy. Figure it out. If you don't play because of financial, like if you feel like, and we'll get Dr. Sitrenberg back on next week and ask him, hey man, there's this 67-page document. I know you've seen some of it. What do you think? And if he says this is stupid, there's no way they can do it, okay, got it. But if he says, actually, they can make this work if they can work the finances out, and they don't, baseball may never recover.
Well, when it comes to the testing, right, when you see other sports leagues starting up and ramping up, you get the Bundesliga.
Mm-hmm.
They're heading into their second weekend of action this upcoming
weekend.
I thought that
was entertaining television.
Yeah. I watched both on Saturday and Sunday. I was all about it. I don't usually watch the Bundesliga. I am aware of their top teams because they play in Champions League, but I don't watch their games week to week. I watch mm-hmm. the Premier League every once in a while. But it was fun. It was live sports. I had no issue that there were no fans. It was something to watch. It was enjoyable. So you see that. You see the Premier League. They are ramping up their testing and their practice time, and they are getting ready to come
training,
back and play.
As they like to call it.
Yeah, so they're trying to get fit, and they're going to play. Okay, so there's two. The NBA, has openly talked about the amount of tests they'll need and that there are reports that they are able to secure said tests. So it sounds like at some point here, the NBA is going to be ready to go. They're going to figure something out to get something back on the court to finish the 2020 season. I think Tom Glavin's onto something here.
If
baseball watches the sand run through the hourglass on this summer and they don't accomplish anything when the state officials are saying go ahead, that's going to be very damning and damaging for baseball long term.
All right, 312-332-3776. What do you think? Do you think we're going to play baseball? I want to hear from you, the baseball fan. Do you think they'll figure it out, they're going to play, or no chance? 312-332-3776. Be right back.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, 11:35 in the great city of Chicago. With Eric in for Danny and Chris, I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. Hope you're safe, hope you're healthy, and just know we appreciate you. More than you know, we appreciate you always listening, tuning in, arguing, debating, whatever it is. Just stay safe and healthy out there, okay? Let's go to Danny in Wheaton. Daniel, what's up, man?
Hey, Cookie Dough, how you doing?
I'm doing all right there, Cherry Pie. What's going on?
Hey, so I was thinking that one of the teams that actually benefited from this coronavirus, I think, is the Houston Astros, because they were about to go on their Shane Tour, and we saw what it was like for them in spring training. I think it would have been brutal for them in the season, and I think they're the ones who actually benefited from this pandemic here.
I still think, though, don't you, that people are going to remember, and whenever we come back, they're still going to get booed. They're still going to always be looked at as a fake champion.
I think so, yeah. I think it might subside a little bit over time, like a lot of things do, but I think there will still be not hatred, but maybe just some disgust about what they did, for sure.
Yeah, I just think that forever, they're always going to be looked at as cheaters, fake champions, the whole thing. I do. That's just truly how I believe. But you're right. Right now, they should be getting booed everywhere they go, and there's no baseball, so nobody's saying a word.
No doubt about it. I'm like you. I think they should get their title stripped away.
Yeah, but I'm right there with you, kid. Have a great day. Stay safe and healthy, all right?
Yeah, you too, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Cap, so I think even, say, where baseball does return, I think because if it would return at the normal time, every storyline, every sports center, every night, we would be going to what the Astros game, the introduction, the booze, the bean balls, all that stuff.
Always.
Right now, baseball returns. The headline is, what's it like with no fans? What are the pitchers? Are their arms ready? It's going to be all about COVID and how the game has changed. And I think that the Astros, time heals everything. So people are going to slowly forget because of all this stuff. So I think the Astros are going to get off much easier because of this.
Yeah, but don't you agree, and maybe you and Chris don't, that whenever we do get baseball back, it will have died down some, but fans are still going to have pent-up anger. They feel that they were cheated.
I know I personally will. Like, I want to make sure the Astros get punished for this, and I hope fans feel the same way.
Christopher, you feel the same way? Will you... If you and I end up going to a game at guaranteed rate and the Astros are in town to play the White Sox, like, I feel like I'll boo them anyway whenever we get to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care.
So you're over it?
Yeah, I was over it from the start.
Yes.
I was the one arguing with you that other teams are probably doing it, so it's not that big of a deal. And you were screaming at me that it was the end of the world because the Astros cheated. by using technology. Remember those conversations?
Yeah.
I don't care. Going forward, okay, congratulations. People got really mad, integrity of the game, because, you know, baseball is such a pure sport. Baseball is the purest of sport that we have in the world. And the fact that someone would even conceive of an idea to cheat the game of baseball, because, listen, I'm a kid of the 90s, and the 90s, pure. So pure. All of the players in the 90s, those records stand to this day. People adore those players, especially the all-time greats. No one can disagree that Barry Bonds, one of the all-time greats. No one has an issue with him. Such a pure sport. But these Astros, how could they do such a thing to baseball? What are they doing? How could they handle that? What's happening here? Please.
I forgot you were the one.
Right, that's just your bias for not liking baseball. That's all that is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
I enjoy baseball.
I forgot you were the one with that really awful take.
I think it was pretty good, in my opinion.
312-332-3776. Andy's in Lombard. Andrew, what's up, Sparky?
Hi, Cap. Love your show.
Appreciate you.
I think there will be baseball this year, but I would not be shocked if they close it down. But I disagree with you at the fact that baseball will take a hit. But it's always come back in the past. It's always come back after the scandal with the White Sox. That's 100 years ago, I know. Also, the strike era. Took a little bit, but it came back. It's our game. You can't turn over the chance. It's our game.
Yeah, here's my thing, and your cell is breaking up. We appreciate your call, Andy. I heard Yerk say that the other day. Baseball, I'll come back. The fans will. Some will. But this is different. This is different. When the strike in 94-95 happened, everyone was going about their life. They were mad. They came back when there was the home run chase. This is different. We've got how many millions of people that are out of work, that are relying on their unemployment and their stimulus check to put food on the table. You have small businesses closing everywhere, the restaurant industry decimated, and a bunch of billionaires and millionaires can't figure it out. I'm not convinced that people will return to the levels that they returned before, because they will feel like baseball had a chance to be a distraction, a diversion, something soothing, and they couldn't find a way to get it done. Even though they could agree on the health part of it, they couldn't get the money to work. I think there'll be a large number of fans, not all, but a large number that will be so offended, they'll just move on to other things. That's my take. So, but we'll see.
You know, locally, if Lori Lightfoot says and Governor Pritzker say today, you can start playing baseball games June 1st here in the city of Chicago, no issues. And the businesses around...
Without fans.
Yeah. But the businesses around the two ballparks, you can reopen too. So the fans can't go into the ballpark, but you can start operating at a somewhat normal level.
Yeah, socially distancing.
If the two baseball teams say, you know, and all of baseball is not ready to go, what does that mean to those who work around Cub games, White Sox games, that in a socially distanced world, they could still go back to work and have an industry off of the baseball industry and they're not ready to play? You know, what does that mean for all the people that work up there in Wrigleyville? You know, obviously it's not going to be jam-packed with 40,000 people a day going to baseball games, but some of the restaurants can maybe start to get some business.
I don't disagree
with you. What does it mean about the rooftops, right? If you have a rooftop, can you go to a rooftop and watch the game even though you're not in the stadium? I mean, I think that's pretty interesting. You know, the White Sox game, you know, fans maybe can't go in, but what if you could tailgate? Stay at your car, you tailgate, you got a couple of cars away, no one mingles together, but you're there. Seems like a pretty cool atmosphere, right? Listen to the ball game on the radio.
Something different than from what you've been doing since March.
Yeah, yes. Something different.
Right. Weather's beautiful. You know what? Let's go hang out outside the ballpark and let's cook some burgers.
Right.
And just be out.
Yeah. You tailgate it. You know.
Right.
The White Sox could still sell the parking passes, right?
No question.
Get some revenue there.
And you've got the Shy Sox Bar and Grill. They could do carry out.
put up a big projector, so it's kind of like an outdoor movie, but it's the baseball game.
Right.
I mean, I think there are solutions here. And just saying, you know, our cut, you know, we did agree, but now we're kind of going back on that. It just seems like that's going to be bad.
Figure it out. All right, we'll grab a quick timeout. We got more calls. Jimmy in Northbrook and a whole bunch. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Don't forget, noon, Crosstalk, Carm and Yerk, and then Waddle, Sylvie at 2 o'clock. 312-332-3776. And say your prayers for our boy Sylvie. I think he has his first treatment on Friday. So, Sylvie Strong. This guy's a beast. He's got such a great attitude. So, go get him, Sylvie. We love you, man. Got your back. This hour brought to you by Weedman. Don't let mosquitoes take a bite out of your summer. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today. 312-332-3776. Jimmy's in Northbrook. James, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, Cap, how you doing?
Hanging in there, man. How about you?
Living the dream out with the dog right now. But I just wanted to say, I don't know if you remember me. I ran into you at Maximum Tattoo in Deerfield.
Yes, I do.
I talked to you, could not have been the nicer guy. I just wanted to tell Chris, shout out, Cap's tattoo is real, 100%. It is not stenciled on. And Cap, sometimes me and you couldn't be further on the totem pole of sports, but you were the nicest guy, took the time to talk to us, could not have been more appreciative. So I appreciate you, everything you do. Guys at the station love you. Just wanted to call and say, from baseball perspective, as a Sox fan, we haven't been good since 2005, and even that was a year no one saw coming, kind of a fluke year. I would be devastated if baseball didn't come back with Eloy and Robert and Kopech and whatnot. I have been so excited for this season.
Yeah,
so
that team is so good. Danny and I went to see them play in spring training, and we were sitting in the first row. We got amazing seats, and Danny and I'm telling you from – like you and I talking at Maximum Tattoo, like that close, we were there. Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, looked like Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack play for the White Sox. God, that team's going to be really good.
I can't wait, and I think Chris had a great idea. The projector in the parking lot would be awesome for tailgating.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe I got to call the people at the White Sox and see if we can get Black a consulting job.
There you go. See if you can patent that and make us a little cash, huh?
All right, hey, maybe I will see you again over there. I got another one in mind that I'm going to get.
Those guys are great. I've gotten all mine there, and hopefully everything's open up again soon. I'd love to talk sports with you, and thank you so much, guys.
Reach out. You're the man.
Thanks.
See you, kid. Jimmy in Northbrook. Yeah, when I got my first tattoo, I had put a Snapchat, and I didn't even say where I was. And he knew the inside of the studio, and he showed up. It was awesome. So, really good dude. 312-332-3776. Patrick is in Stickney over by Hawthorne Racecourse. Patrick, what's up, Sparkles?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Great. I think he's on to something. He should be the commissioner of baseball. I mean, that's a genius idea, having tailgating in the parking lot at White Sox Park. Put up a big screen, put speakers inside the ballpark so the players can hear the fans cheer. And then also you can allow food vendors in there so they could sell food and get back to work.
That's a great idea. We could expand on this. And I've got one of my best friends works for the White Sox. I'm literally going to call him on my way home today and go, hey, man, Chris Black came up with a great idea. You guys got to do this. I'm just telling you.
They should give him a job. What a genius idea. You know, when these poor people, the vendors could get, or even have the vendors go out, sell peanuts and stuff in the parking lot, it would be great. I mean,
the Cubs actually kind of do that. Now, they don't do it in the parking lots because it's a different setup. But in Gallagher Way, they have that huge screen on the side of the office building.
Yeah, so, it's tremendous.
Yeah, so you could absolutely make this work. But for the White Sox, with all that, appreciate your call, Patrick, with all that parking space, you could literally socially distance, have the ballpark right there, and go, okay, we're going to park every car like 10 feet apart, set up your grill, there's the big screen, and let's go. And it's going to be a good team, man.
I think it's a great call. Commissioner of Baseball, let's do it.
Listen, I've
got ideas for baseball. Mm-hmm. No one ever wants to listen to me about my ideas for baseball. They're here. But Commissioner of Baseball, yes, I'll take the job.
All right. We're
lopping games off the schedule. That's what we're doing first.
By the way, did you see
we're making each day impactful. Let's go.
News out of the Advocate Center, Chris. Did you see that?
What do you got?
Chicago Bulls have said goodbye to trainer Jeff Tanaka. They are overhauling the training staff now. After firing GM Gar Forman, this is from Joe Colley's Twitter, now head trainer Jeff Tanaka has been shown the exit door with his contract not being picked up. Director of Performance Health Chip Schaefer, who was all over the documentary because he was the trainer back then and a good dude, will remain in his position. So there you go. Trainer's out. The GM's out. Pax has moved to a different role. And trust me, the coach will be gone when they either announce the season's over or when the season does end. Just telling you. He's not coming back. 312-332-3776. Kyle is down in Streeterville. Hey, Kyle, what's going on, man?
What's up, my little oatmeal cream pie? How we doing?
I'm good there, Sparky.
Good. You know, real sad to hear the news of Jeff Tanaka. I was a huge Tanaka fan, but I just wanted to say,
you don't even know who he is.
Oh, I don't know who he is. Are you kidding me? He was the half bald Asian guy on the sideline with the Bulls. Come on, he's been around for forever.
There you go.
I've been a Bulls fan since the Dalibor Bagarić chair. I know my Bulls.
Love it.
But I was going to say, with baseball, I'm probably coming back. You know, I hope they can agree on something. If the Cubs and White Sox do end up playing, you know, let's say they make a run, it's going to feel very, very incomplete. If the Cubs win the World Series, it's not going to feel like a real World Series championship. I feel like there would have to be some sort of asterisk next to it, which would be unfortunate. But, you know, playoff baseball with no fans, high-level situations with no fans. Don't get me wrong, I love to watch baseball.
I think we lost Kyle. You there?
Yeah. Hello?
I got you back. There you go.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's going to feel very incomplete to me if the Cubs or White Sox end up making a playoff run and end up winning a World Series. It'll feel very inadequate.
Hey, man, have a great day, and hopefully we do get some baseball back. But thanks for calling, all right? And love your Bulls passion.
Of course.
All right, we'll see you. There you go. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Did you happen to see, by the way, Chris, Eric, the exchange supposedly between Aroldis Chapman and Jose Altuve on social media?
I don't know, but was it real?
That's what I'm asking. Is it real?
Is this one of those spots where Danny would then jump in and say, this is something you could have asked us in the commercial break?
No, I just found out about it. I just happened to see it as I was.
So you were incepted?
Yeah, I guess I was. I guess I was. I don't know. Allegedly, Jose Altuve had tweeted that the players' union should not accept the MLB proposal for a shortened season. It's too dangerous.
We don't think it's real. So you were incepted by a fake tweet.
I guess I was. And Aroldis Chapman went back at him. Now, again, don't forget that Aroldis Chapman was the guy who gave up the home run on what he believes is a tipped pitch that they were cheating on. So, anyway.
But it's not real.
That's why I didn't read the rest of it. But it's great. it's hilarious. I was definitely incepted. Definitely, 100%.
Merkin says in the background, that's a minute we'll never get back.
But it was fun. by the way, Anthony Schrader said, quit promoting Chris Black for a baseball job. We love him here, but I like his ideas.
Well, I'll do both. I mean, basically, listen, Commissioner of Baseball is a part-time gig anyway, so it's pretty easy to fix that.
Get you, yeah, I'll get you.
Lop off four teams, cut 20 games from the schedule, make the playoffs more interesting. Let's go. Put it on TV for everyone. Allow them to share the clips online. Let's go. Let's get things moving. Drive-in scenarios for fans while the games are played during the pandemic. We got all the ideas right here. DH for both leagues. Come on, Cap, you can get on board with this.
I'm in. You've got some good ideas. All right, let's grab a quick timeout. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in exactly 120 seconds.